To have my good friend Elton Stuber come and speak to us this morning. Elton, if you would come on up. Elton and I go back a long ways. We have studied the scripture together for, I don't know, some 40 years, I guess, or more. And once in a while come to blows over it. But
I haven't won an argument yet.
Never yet have we parted friendship as a result of our study. He worked at our company for about 45 years, and lots of times that study and argument went on at 6 a.m. in the morning. But he's a good student of the scripture, and I want to welcome him this morning to come and speak to us. Thanks, Elton.
Okay. Good to be here this morning. I'll do the everything I say, it'll be a controversy, maybe subject. Everything I say will be the best I think the scripture says. And you at the end can search your own scriptures. If you don't agree, that's fine. By the way, Howard, I've given this lesson 6 times and I got a perfect record. Nobody's invited me back yet. But I got a short memory. I tried number 7. The name of the lesson this morning is Trinity versus the Oneness Theory. Maybe a little different subject than you've heard. Maybe it is, and maybe Pete's been on it. The real Trinity that you usually hear is number 1, His Father. Number 2, His Son. Number 3 is the Holy Spirit. They usually say this is a person, a person, a person. Add them together, you got one. I never was any good at math. If it wasn't for Dorothea Life, I never would have got passed through school. But 1, 2, and 3 don't usually add up to be 1. Let's see what we can find. Many years I've wondered about God being one God, but 3 persons in one, and this is called the Trinity. Before we can consider this subject of the Trinity, we must be clear of what John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Now, by definition, God as spirit cannot be seen, and we cannot know of Him unless He wishes to reveal Himself. And He has revealed several of His characteristics, many of them we will consider this morning. We have always been told that the Trinity is God, as I got here, 3 persons. I believe that the large part of the difficulty lies in the use of the word person. We know what is a person. Each one of us here is a person, is it not? We're all person. Everyone should understand that God, as spirit, cannot be seen. He is simply not visible. He's not a person. Spirit is not a person. Let's take a look at Jesus Christ. Let's go down through here, the Trinity. Let's look at Jesus Christ. He is a person. And He is described as, among other things, as King of Kings, as a Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God. These are titles describing the offices or the roles and the characteristics of our Lord. For example, a Lamb of God, He was God's sacrifice for man. As King of Kings, He is the Lord over all. As He leads His own down the path of righteousness, He manifests the characteristic of one who cares for His flock. And when He comes again, to reign over the nations, he will manifest the characteristic of a righteous ruler. All these different characteristics, we see what? The same person, do we not? But still, only one person. Now I ask the question, why then do we find it necessary to assume three of the manifestations of God's many characteristics are different persons? I believe you can ask almost any Christian, and they will tell you God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three persons acting as one. This morning, I would like to propose to you that these three are not three persons, as we just learned what a person is, but three different manifestations of the one God, who is Spirit. That is to say, just as King of Kings and the Lamb of God are characteristics of the one person, Jesus Christ, so then Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three different characteristics, not persons of the one God. An example of everyday life, you can look at me, I am a son. I'm a brother. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm an uncle. I'm a cousin. And a friend of Pete's, unless he's irritated at me. And then he calls me by some other name. Now, all these are titles or offices or roles in the life of me. I'm still one person, right? And you will note that the title differs with the relationship that I have with each person in my life. Now, take a minute and compare your own self. What are you? You're this and you're this, and you look at each one of you. Got some young girls that here, young ladies. They don't have quite as many titles as Rosemary does over here, does she? But her titles keep going. If she ever gets the title of great-grandmother, I don't know what we're going to do. That'd probably change her identity. But normally the person stays the same. So also is God. He's one God with many titles, so that he can have a relationship with us. Now, as we continue on here, our study, we will see that the God in the Old Testament has a name, and like Christ in the New Testament, also has several titles. Again, just as Christ is one person with several titles, so God in the Old Testament is one God with several titles, and just as the various titles of Christ in the New Testament describe different characteristics, so then do the various titles of God in the Old Testament. So we see here the different characteristics in the Old Testament and God, and we see them in the New Testament. Just as a reminder, I need to bring this out. From a lesson I gave last year, we compared Isaiah 43 with Matthew 3:3. And that showed us, and keep this in mind, that Christ is the manifestation of Jehovah. Isaiah 43 read, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord," which is Jehovah. And in Matthew 3, we read John the Baptist's message concerning Christ, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Isaiah tells us that the one crying in the wilderness is preparing the way for Jehovah. And Matthew tells us that John is the one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the manifestation of Jehovah. Now we know that God's name is Jehovah in the Old Testament. There are at least 10 different titles which are combined with his name, Jehovah. And what is important this morning to keep in mind for our study this morning, that these 10 titles combined with the name Jehovah do not make 10 different persons of the Godhead. They simply are 10 different characteristics of the one God, Jehovah. When we get to the New Testament, we of course do not find Hebrew titles, but we do find other titles used of God. Just as in the Old Testament, these titles do not refer to different persons, so in the New Testament, these titles do not refer to different persons. However, they do refer to characteristics God has chosen to make known. And these titles describe these characteristics. Let's consider the name Jesus Christ. It means Savior. Another, they call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This tells us Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now note, Emmanuel is not a different person than Jesus, but only that Emmanuel is simply a different title which describes a different role or office. In Matthew 24:30, we read our Lord is called Son of Man. Once again, the Son of Man is not a different person than Emmanuel or Jesus, but it is a different title for the same person and simply describes a different office. We could turn to John 1:1. It gives us yet another title used of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word is just another title for the same Jesus. In summary, I believe it is quite obvious that all these names, titles, roles referring to Christ in the New Testament refer to one man, and that each title reveals a different characteristic of that one man. Well, let's move on to the third one over here. Let's move on to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was certainly very active in the Old Testament times, but not until John's gospel was written do we read of him being sent as a comforter. Does the title comforter change the identity of the Holy Spirit as revealed in the Old Testament? No, of course not. The title Comforter reveals a characteristic not stressed in the Old Testament concerning the Holy Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit manifesting many characteristics of the one God. Now let us for a moment consider God the Father. It is probably the most confusing term in Christianity today affecting the doctrine of the Trinity. And it is the failure to differentiate between God the Father and God the Spirit. It must be noted that the term, T-E-R-M, the term God the Father is not equivalent to the term God. God, the term that God is. This is evident from the fact that God the Father does not express all that God is. That is to say, God the Father does not express the exact same characteristics as the Holy Spirit does. For the God the Father is never referred to, for example, as a comforter. God the Father does not fulfill the title Savior. It is true that he sent his only begotten Son, but God the Father did not offer himself as a lamb led to slaughter. That characteristic of God was made known by Jesus Christ the Son. God the Father is but one of the manifestations of God. Let us consider the phrase we see so often in the New Testament, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Most people use this phrase for proof that God is one in three persons. To see if this would be true, we need to go back to the Old Testament. We discovered there that God is spirit, and that when he reveals himself to man, he takes on a title which describes the characteristics he wants to reveal. We discovered earlier that in Genesis 1:1, God is described as the creator. But in Colossians 1:15-16, we find Christ created all things. Therefore, only conclusion you can have is that Christ is God. They are one and the same. We cannot take time to examine all the titles of God in the Old Testament, but one cannot help but come to the conclusion that Christ is a manifestation of Jehovah. Now let's turn back to the phrase God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In regards to the question of Trinity, I do not believe they represent three different persons. However, I believe they represent three different characteristics of one God. Each of these titles show that he is fully God. But none of them, of themselves, reveal that God is spirit. All that God is as spirit. We need to think, need to know all the characteristics to fully know what God is. There might even be other characteristics that are not in our word. I don't know. We need to wind up this little study with the following observation. When the Trinity is understood in the traditional way, that is, God is three in one, then 1 Corinthians 15:28 greatly undermines the deity of Christ. This scripture reads as such, "Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be on all in all." The phrase "he hath put all things under him" is taken from Psalm 110:1, where we read, "Jehovah said unto Adonai, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." According to the traditional view, Christ will be subject to Christ. I trust we can't really see this passage. We can really see this passage leads to total confusion. Unless one understands that Christ, in his office of Son, will be subject to God, whose name is Jehovah. Christ is the manifestation of Jehovah. So Christ will not be subject to Jehovah. He is Jehovah. The office of Son will be made subject to Jehovah. The traditional view of the Trinity makes the Son one person and God another person. That view cannot simply work in the passages that I just read. Another passage which, if not understood correctly, is also quite demeaning to Christ, and that's John 4:18, which reads, the Father is greater than I. But Christ is God. God cannot be less than God. If, on the other hand, we understand that the office of the Father is greater than the office of the Son, then all is clear. The Old Testament is very clear. There is but one God, whose name is Jehovah. To correctly understand the New Testament, we must understand the mindset of those to whom Christ and his apostles were preaching. Their mindset was obviously not of a triune God. However, they were certainly aware of all the titles of Jehovah as revealed in the Old Testament. In conclusion, God is either one or three. He cannot be both one and three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are not, in my opinion, three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are titles which reveal different characteristics which God as Spirit has chosen to reveal himself to us who desire to know him. However, not one of these roles or titles by themselves reveal God who his Spirit is. It takes all of those to really know the full God. Some 200 years ago, I assume some great theologian coined the phrase Trinity, three persons in one. Therefore, tradition has maintained this theory. To the best of my ability, I have tried to show from Scripture that we only have one God. This is not a popular opinion. Therefore, you will have to search your Scriptures yourself and see what you come up with. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the many blessings. We thank thee for the privilege of studying together. We pray as we study and try to rightly divide the Scripture, help us to understand, even though it is not popular, pray that we will get the correct answer. If I've said amiss, and we blot it out of our minds. For Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Elton. There's a lot there. And if you want to go back and review that, it'll eventually be posted up on thebibleforum.podbean.com. You can go back and review that lesson again. But as you can tell, Elton is a student of the Scripture, and he put a lot of effort into that. And Elton, we thank you for coming and bringing that message, that study to us.